It's going today about my world, and I just have got to get one or two things ready over here. So I'm going to ask you a question where you're sitting, most of them to each other. Just tell each other, how many friends do you think you've got? How many friends? But you've got to count them. And what I would say is friends or people where you can speak into their life, and those people can speak into your life. So if you've been to the hairdresser and it doesn't look that good, if the friend says it doesn't look good, you will accept it. You're not going to be annoyed, or you're not going to be offended with it, because it's a friend which is close by enough. But also, if the friend is going then to a hairdresser and you don't like it, that you also can say that to the friend without breaking the friendship. So that's what I'm talking about. How many friends do you have where you really are close to and where you can share? Just quickly for 2 minutes to each other. Right. Who at least has got one friend? I mean, okay, who's got one friend or less? Two or less? Three? Two, three, yeah. Four? Five? Okay, it's good. It's good. We're going to come to it just now. When we meet people, we always share what is in our world. And I've just done this to help you a little bit to figure out what I'm talking about when I'm talking about my world. And as I was busy with the sermon, I looked over my shoulder and then I saw that one balloon, I can nearly say, which I also got from the earth, and on it, it also says my world. So again, it's of those confirmations what you get when you're busy with the sermon. Then you say, okay, Lord, this is a double confirmation. This has got to be the sermon on Sunday. If we come and if we meet people, we talk to people, we share what is in our life, what is in our world, and then we also hear what is in their world. We ask questions, they give answers, they ask questions and we give answers. And by that, we are basically sharing each other's world. How does your world look like and how does the other person's world look like? And then after that, it's maybe going to happen that you're never going to see that person again. So maybe you shared a little bit about that you're working at university or you're a musician or whatever you've shared, but you never see the person again. It could also be that you're going to see the person again, but you're never going to speak that way again. It could be, let's say, you're on the bus, you maybe spoke to that person, you shared a little bit about it, of what you're doing or what the person is doing, you shared it with each other, but the next time you see the person on the bus, you just greet and you just leave it like that. And then the third one is that you're maybe going to speak again and again and again, and you basically invite the person into your world. Meaning that the person is going to become part of your world. You're going to invite the person for a cup of coffee and you're going to start a type of a friendship. You allow the person then into your life, into your world, and that's what I've been talking about, my world. My secretary at the back, can she maybe just click? All right. That's my friend as well, yeah. Secretary, friend, wife, co-worker, everything. Awesome wife. The better quality relationships you have, the more likely you're happy to be, or the more likely you are to be happy. And that we see in the world. If people have got good relationships with other people, it's helping, you've got friends, and you're going to feel happier. That is a statement which is, because I picked up one or two from the internet, which I think is quite logic. And I'm talking about the world where we're living in. I'm not talking about spiritual world at the moment. I'm just talking about the world where we're living in at the moment. And therefore, it's good for happiness to be a great friend of someone and to have a group of friends, of good friends, supporting you. That is important, which means you are a friend to somebody else and other people are friends to you. So you've got that type of interaction. And this is actually what... Sorry, what's happening then? That you're building up relations, that you're building up friendships. And it's going both ways. Now, how many friends do we actually need? Now, I've asked you just now, and you've got those figures in your head. And I Googled a little bit. And strangely enough, I'm each and every time coming back again to a certain... Just I've got to have a look at the guy's name again. Robin Dunbar. He's an anthropologist in England, and he made a study. And he said we need approximately 150 people in our lives. Okay, so not 150 friends, but 150 people. And I'm going to quickly go through one by one. The first one, the first is, of course, that's the circle. If we take the bullseye, that's me, that's the I, the me, the myself, or whatever you want to do it. It's one person that is in the middle. The next group is anything between 3 and 5, which you've got around you. And if we take a look at what you've been saying, most of you are somewhere in that group. So you're going through to the next round. And what is happening with those is that you can live, or you can give comments into their life, but they also can comment into your life. There's really an open type of a relation. You don't have to think twice before you're saying a word. And it's also when you really have got a bad day that you can cry, you can walk into that person's house. They will accept you, and the other way around as well. And that's what's really what they're talking about, what friendships is concerned. Then we're coming to the next circle, which is around it. And there you've got approximately 15. And those are most of the time relatives, mentors, or friends. They don't really or quite in that inner circle, but they speak into your life. They have got a certain influence into your life, and you're accepted as well what they are saying. And if you haven't seen them for, let's say, half a year, you see them again, then you can carry on with the conversation. You don't have to first build up again and first ask about this or that or whatever. You immediately can carry on with your conversation. So there we've got approximately 15 over there. Then the next ring, it's approximately 50 people, which we've got around us. Now those 50 people are typically friends of friends. So you will meet them when your friend's birthday is there. You will meet that other friend at the friend's birthday over there. But they won't come to your house. They are not friends of yours. You know them a little bit. You see them regularly. But you see them regularly. You recognize them. But they do not really count as friends. And then finally we come to the outer circle. And there we've got approximately 80 people. So if you add up, then we get to the 150 over there. Those, we will recognize them. If you're walking in a shop or in the mall, if you're in the bus or whatever, you will greet the person, you will recognize the person, and that's the other 80. And apparently, we can only handle approximately 150 people, not more. If we're going to try to get more of those, then we're going to lose of those, which we are not going to remember anymore. So that apparently, the study has shown that 150 is more or less the maximum. Okay. Who knows how many friends you can have on Facebook? There's a limit. 5,000. So what Facebook is doing is doesn't exist. They totally go overboard. So they say you can have a maximum of 5,000. It's not correct. You cannot have 5,000 friends. It's impossible to have something like that. But the most important thing, if we come back again to what the friends is concerned, that inner circle, those people around you with whom you can interact. And it's happening in our lives that things are changing. And as things are changing, that our friends are changing. A lot of us over here know if you move from one country to the other country, you leave a lot of friends behind. So you've got to make new friends in a new place. It's also happening, and it's more for the ladies, when you get your first baby, you lost friends because you couldn't go along with those friends and have a party or go out anymore because now suddenly there's a baby. You're in another world. You lose of those friends. But again, you can maybe go to a Bible study for young mums. Then you can make new friends over there again. It could also be that if you are going from one school to the other school, like a child, for instance, if a child is going from primary school to a secondary school, on the one school they are a hero and on the next school they are a zero, and then they haven't got any friends. They've got to start over there. They've got to make friends again with that. And then, of course, the most logical one is that you're losing friends when you're getting older. Asked the one guy as well in the old age home when he was 100 years. They said, "What has actually changed over the years?" He said, "Just the group pressure has become less." He said, "There are less people who are that old." But it's also, what are you doing then? And this is actually what the one guy is saying over there. I'm just having a look. Yes, I think it's the next one. "There are no strangers here, only friends which you haven't met yet." And that's what the study is showing also, and what they are saying is that if you haven't got friends, or if you feel that you haven't got friends, then you must have a look at those outer circles, the 80, the 50 or whatever, and try to pull them in, because you already have got contact with them. Invite them for a cup of coffee, that they can come closer to you, that you can get people around you again, because we need those people around us to build us up. And friends are people you invite into your world, into my world, as what I'm, the subject what I've got today, to become part of my world, and that they feel happy in my world, and I also feel happy in their world. We can share then. What does the Bible say about my world? If we take a look at the word which is used in the Bible for my world, it is cosmos. And cosmos means it's the earth with all the human inhabitants on it who've turned their back against God. This is how the Bible is describing the world. So which means it's the earth with all the people on it who have turned their back against God. This is what's seen as the world. And who is then the ruler of the world? And that is the devil. Now the judgment of this world now the ruler of this world will be cast out. This is what Jesus speaking to his disciples before he was crucified. And he said, the devil is going to be casted out, the ruler of this world. So this is the current situation what we've got. And it's also confirmed again in John 5:19, where it says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." So we are in the world which is ruled by the devil, but the world is the cosmos of those people who have turned their back against God. And that's where the difference is. We haven't turned the back against God. We are following God. So we are in the world, but we're not from the world. And that's where the difference is. That yes, we can be in the world, but we're not part of the world. What does the Bible want us to do? And the Bible is very straight with that. It's telling us that if we're in the world, we shouldn't follow the world. Because the world is the devil, it's ruled by the devil, and we shouldn't be following the world. We can enjoy the world, we can enjoy the creation, we can enjoy the things which are in the world, we can enjoy the nature, the mountains, the sea, and all those type of things, we can enjoy it, but we shouldn't become part of it. There will be one or two verses just now as well who also will help to explain it. Because we cannot serve two masters. We cannot follow the mammon, the money, and then at the same time try to follow God as well. We've got to choose the one or the other one. This one I took out of the Amplified, and the Amplified has always got a few additional words describing it a little bit more better. And then mammon is explained as money, possessions, fame, status, or whatever is valued more than the Lord. So whatever has been put above the Lord, it's mammon. We see it so much in this world. If it is a sports star, he wants to have a status as a sports star. We've seen the Olympics just now. On those magazines, I don't know what the magazines actually called about it, those people who are famous and all those type of things, they're looking for it. They're looking for that status. They want to be on the front page. It's all about following mammon and not following God. And then James 4 is also giving us a little bit of an advice in that direction. And the wording what he's using is typically what in the Old Testament also has been used by the prophets. You adulterers, you disloyal sinners. It's quite hard. Flirting with the world and breaking your vow to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend, that is loving the things of the world, is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So hopefully now you understand a little bit better what I just now said about my world, because my world is that cosmos is the earth with all the people who have turned their back against God. If we are spending time with them, and if we want to be part of them, if we want to do like them, we are not doing what the Lord is asking us to do. Because he says, if we're going to be a friend of the world, we are going to make ourselves enemy of God. John 15 is also confirming that again, where it says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before I hated you. If you were of the world would love you, would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. I just would like to give a little bit of a testimony over there. On Thursday evenings when we walk in Utrecht, and then one of the ladies who is walking along with us, she finds it very difficult when we try to start a conversation with a person, and the person will say, no, not interested in God. Then she feels that's actually that the person is saying to her, I'm not interested in you. Then I said, the person is not rejecting you. Person is rejecting Jesus. And then she said, for her, it's now much better to carry it, to handle it, because she can understand now what it says over there, because the person is saying, sorry, I'm not interested in Jesus, giving that message to the person, but she shouldn't make it something which is feeling her uncomfortable. She should be able to handle it, and she can carry on. And then afterwards, she also said it made more sense that the world is hating us, but it's actually hating Jesus, and that's what they're saying. They do not want to know more about Jesus. Again, what we also have got to keep in mind, if the world hates us, we shouldn't hate the world, because we still have got to work in the world. We still have got to get people out of this world into God's world. We'll come to God's world just now. So it's not a matter of that, okay, if you hate me, then I'm going to hate you. Unfortunately not. We've got to still work in the world, because we are in the world, although it is not a place which is which we would like to conform to, where we would be like to become part for to where the Lord is also telling us we shouldn't come part of. And that is a process. We cannot simply switch like a light switch on and off. It's a process which is steadily happening, and continuously we've got to work at it, and continuously we've got to change. And that we also can read in Romans 12:2, where it says then, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and a perfect will of God. The word conformed over there is coming from the Greek word which actually says fashion. So if it is fashion to be a certain thing in the world, we shouldn't be following the fashions. We shouldn't conform to this world. There's only one thing that we're following, and that is Jesus. We're not going to conform to the world, but we've got to be transformed. But to transform, the word what we all know is metaforma, which means it's transform. It's something which is changing, where there's a change. So you're not going to remain continuously the same. You're going to change. You're going to become more beautiful, better and better, by the renewing of your mind. And that is something what we've got to do continuously. If we do not want to be conformed to this world, we continuously have got to have a look and say, okay, what is this world saying? What does the world want us to do? And what am I doing with it? Am I going to conform to this world? Am I going to follow the fashions of the world? Or am I going to change? And this is what the Lord is asking us, that we should continuously change with our mind. So which means whatever decision we're taking, we should reflect it and say, okay, what is God saying? What is God wanting us to do? Not what is my neighbor going to say, or what is the headmaster going to say, or what is the mayor of Utrecht going to say. Now, What is the Lord going to say? So we've got to reflect it and then make the decision. And it's also that we've got to keep in mind that the thinking, what we're doing continuously, we've got to keep our thinking. If we're getting certain messages which are negative, which are maybe drawing us into the world, then those type of thinking, we've got to immediately screen it and say, okay, is it coming? Where is it coming from? That we can screen it so that we continuously can be busy to improve, that we can transform, that we can be more acceptable and good in the perfect will of God. And what's the will of God? That we should tell other people how awesome and how great he is. It says over there, to reach nations and generations. That's what we want to do over here. And the Lord also said, the last Matthew 28, go and tell the nations. We've got to tell the people how awesome and how great he is. And that's what we've got to do in the world. 1 John 2 verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So there are three things over there. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of flesh, we're well known, we're all aware of that. That the people, prostitution, we've got so many things over there. How should I actually say it? If I take a look at, sometimes if I pass a shop where they're selling underwear, the way they're selling underwear over there is for me is totally absurd. A little bit worse over here in the Netherlands is what it is in South Africa or maybe at another place. It's such a lust of flesh which is exhibited over there. But it's acceptable in this world. It is standard in this world. It is seen as, that's the way how you advertise. The lust of the eyes. We see a thing. The neighbor has got a new car. I also want to have a new car. This is how all marketing is working on. They want to make you jealous for something else which you haven't got and that you're going to buy it. So the lust of the eyes, the devil is continuously trying to play on that. That you're going to see something that you say, that's what I want to have. That's what I want to have. And the pride of life. Pride is, of course, a thing which is very difficult. The devil was kicked out of heaven for that because he was pride. He got pride, and that's what was not acceptable. And that's something which for us is so easy, that we are proud on something, that we've got a pride, and that's not acceptable. Jesus doesn't want to have that. We should have that. Because it also says then the world is passing away. It's only a short period and that is finished. The world. But if we do the will of God, we're going to abide it forever. And it's going to be forever and ever. I took this one along just to try and show you a little bit. I haven't measured it, but it's approximately, apparently the whole earth is 40,000 kilometers all around. So this is the world. This is where all the people are staying on. Unfortunately, quite a lot of them, of the 7 billion people who are staying onto it, who've got back against God, who do not follow God. But this is only a small part. Because the whole world is doing nothing else than having a look at somebody else who's on this world. Comparing with each other. What have you got? What have I got? Who's famous? Who's got a medal? That's where the whole world is living from, because they continuously look at each other. The world, and I'm saying it again, this is where the ruler, the devil is ruling over there, is limited. It's only 40,000 kilometers. The Lord, and when I had a look at it, and I couldn't actually figure it out, and I thought, okay, maybe I must say what I've read, but I'm going to take a few zeros away from it, and maybe it helps you a little bit. The Lord what I'm serving, which is bigger than this, which created this earth, he created the whole universe. If I want to go from one galaxy to the other galaxy, it's going to take me 25,000 years to move from one galaxy to another galaxy. That's the God I'm serving, how big he is. He's too big, we cannot explain him. And then those guys who look up the stars and the moons and all those type of things, they say there are hundreds of billions of galaxies. So we're going to travel hundreds of billions times 25,000 years if we want to visit those other galaxies. The God we're serving is immense. It's so great. It's wonderful. And this is where it's going about. Where are we? Are we in my world? This small thing? With time? It's going to mean nothing. It's going to blow down. It's going to be flat. Or am I serving God's world, which is going to be forever? Where do I place myself? Do I want to be accepted by the world? Do I want to have a car which is exactly the same? Do I want to be famous? Do I want to have medals and stars and those type of things? Or do I say, this is the most important thing and that's God's world? And I'm coming back again to the friendships where I started with. The Lord wants to have a friendship with us. Jesus also said it. You are my friends. If you do whatever I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all the things I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Jesus wants to be friends with us. We only need one friend. In this world, maybe three or five. One friend, if we want to have eternal life, if we want to have access to God's world. In my limited world, three or five to help me to get through this life where we are living at the moment. But what we really need is God's world. And God is sending, okay, now I'm on Facebook terms again. God is sending invites to 7 billion people who are on the earth at the moment. He has sent those invites to those who have lived before, the 7 billion who are living at the moment. And I don't know how many. They say approximately 10 billion by 2025 would be going to be. I don't know. I'm not counting them. God is sending an invite to each and every one of them. He says, come, become my friend. Come to my world. I've got place in my world, in God's world. There's place for him. Not in the world where we are living it at the moment. We are in the world, but we are not from the world. We move. God is inviting us. Knowing you all who are sitting here at the moment, you already accepted that invitation. You already made it part of your life that you say, yes, I want to be with God's world. I don't want to be in my world. It could maybe be that in your life that you say sometimes it's popping up again, that there's a car or there's a this or a that. And then you can repent. Fortunately, we can repent. We can go back to the Father. We can say, sorry, we made a mistake. But the Lord wants to invite those 7 billion people on earth. He wants to invite them to be his friend. But we've got to bring the invites to the people. It's us who've got to do that. That's why I've put the cards on the table over there, off on your chairs. That you're going to take those cards along. What we just now heard in the beginning as well with the friends. If we want to make friends, we've got to make that step forward. We've got to make contact with that person and invite that person for a cup of coffee. Allow them into our world. We can come into their world. We can start the type of a relationship. And this is what we've got to do. This is the instruction that the Lord has given us. We've got to take those invites which we got from the Lord. And we've got to hand them out in this world. That's our duty. It can be a cup of coffee. It can be somebody with us at the bus. Please keep them with you, that you always got ready and that you can give it into them. If we are in God's world, we are ambassadors from God's world in the world we're living in. And then being an ambassador, we can invite them to come into God's world. That we're not going to be distant away and say, okay, I'm not in God's world, I don't have to do anything. No, if we're in God's world, we want to be a faithful servant. We want to invite other people. We want to make them part of God's world as well. Somebody else gave the invitation to us and we reacted on it. Somebody else prayed for us and that's why we are sitting over here. But we've got to do exactly the same. So the message what I would like to give along this afternoon, yes, there's a my world, limited world, small world, limited lifetime. God's world, it's immense, it's huge, it's great, it's wonderful. So much where we can talk about, where we went to the students this week as well, and then you get of those students who are very opinionated, they know exactly what happened, they know how the whole earth evolved and how it happened and the things and all those. And then you feel actually a pity because they do not understand. God created them. God loves them. God wants them into their world. And we're spending time over there. Also the week what's coming again. And I'm asking you to pray for us that we're going again. We're going to hand out those business cards. We are handing out those invitations. Some of the 7 billions are going to get an invitation to come. And we pray that the Holy Spirit is going to touch their hearts, that they're going to come. So I would like to send you. Go, hand out those invites. Let's become one big family that we can serve the Lord. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we cannot go on our own. We ask you, Jesus, as our friend, to go along with us, that we don't feel alone. That if we're handing out those cards, that we're inviting people into our lives and into your world, Lord, that we're not on our own, but that we are together. And Father, I pray that as we are going to hand out those cards in the week to come, Lord, that those cards are going to be anointed, Lord. That those cards, which when we're going to be received by people, Lord, that people say, yes, there's an invitation now. I want to react on that. I want to become a friend. Because we can only make friends if we make contact with other people, Lord. And this is what I pray what's going to happen, Lord. That we're going to make contact as an ambassador, as a representative from your kingdom. That we're going to make contact with other people. And that they also can come into our family, into your kingdom, into your world. Thank you, Father, that it's not about my world, but it's all about your world, about God's world, who's so great and so big. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. There's not really an altar call, but I just want to say if there's anybody who feels that he would like to pray for something or about something, you're welcome to come forward. There's coffee and tea next door. If you feel you just would like to sit down, pray a little bit, you're welcome. I'll be floating around here at the top.